Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Greg. Episode 12, the first episode of 2014. Happy New Year, Reza.
Same to you, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well. How was your Christmas and New Year's holiday? Did you have a good time in Belfast?
Yes, extremely quiet, peaceful, relaxing, lovely. Craig, you, on the other hand, had quite an adventure, I believe.
I went to Laos.
Uh-huh.
And rode some elephants. It was wonderful.
Wow. Sounds great.
Very nice Christmas. Do you remember last episode you said that you would hopefully be learning something new, make a New Year's resolution to learn something new in 2014? Did you do that?
I did. Several things, in fact, but... You know I do like my food, Craig. And one thing I learned was how to make Hasselback potatoes.
What are Hasselback potatoes? I've never heard of them.
I was told, now I can't say this is 100% accurate, I haven't done my research, but according to my brother, who once went to South Africa on holiday, it's a South African dish. It's a potato dish with a certain sauce. I tell you what, if any listeners are interested, I can share the recipe with them. But only if I first receive a dulce de leche recipe.
We were promised dulce de leche. We had an email from, let me see, Emilce.
That's right.
In Argentina. Let me read it to you. ¿Cuánto me alegro de que te haya gustado la Argentina y te hayas sentido cómodo? En otro mail te mandaré una receta de cómo hacer dulce de leche. Gracias por tus enseñanzas. Cariños, Emilce. Well, that's a lovely email, but have you received her recipe yet? Because
no,
I haven't.
We haven't received any recipes yet, but Emilce said that when she had a bit of free time, she would send one. So we haven't received any recipes yet, but I'm looking forward to receiving at least one from Emilce.
Emilce, we're waiting for you, dear. Send us your recipe, and then you will get Reza's recipe of Hasselback potatoes.
That's it.
Hasselback potatoes. On the subject of emails, we got a message from Daniel Reyes Limon from Chalapa, Veracruz, Mexico. Daniel says, I wrote this email just to tell you that I'm so happy and excited to listen to your podcast. Well, thank you, Daniel. I'm a freshman in this new language, which I suppose means he's just started learning English. I enjoy listening to you. I hope to learn more each day from you. Really, you're so good. When I'm listening to you, it's like listening to a good, fresh radio station. I need to improve my grammar, and I have many mistakes when I talk and when I write. I wish you Merry Christmas and a really Happy New Year 2014. Well, thank you, Danielle. I'm pleased that our listeners are enjoying our podcasts, and it's nice to get such positive feedback.
Happy New Year to everybody in Mexico and all over the world, in fact.
So, do you have any grammar points for us this episode, Reza?
I do, Craig. Well, let me begin by asking you a question. You recently were in Laos, you told the listeners.
That's right.
Did you bring back any souvenirs from your holiday there? Listeners, a souvenir is something you bring from a country or another place that's not your hometown to remind you of your holiday there. Un recuerdo. Did you bring any souvenirs from Laos?
I bought myself a scarf because in Laos they make cotton scarves. And I brought back a book, I think, about the history of Laos. And those two souvenirs were from my trip this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the listeners know, you've been around the world. You've been in many places. You brought me some salt with merken from Chile. Do you remember?
I remember, yes.
Salt with merken, listeners. How many of you have heard of that? It's a Mapuche recipe, apparently. I love it. Very tasty. But Craig, you didn't bring me any present from Argentina. Not even one little dulce de leche.
I didn't bring you anything, did I? No. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Next time.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the listeners know, we haven't received any recipes yet for dulce de leche, but we're expecting one soon. Now, Craig.
Yes.
Talking about Merken and dulce de leche and other things and Hasselback potatoes, it's making me very hungry. Can I have some food after this?
Yeah, would you like something to eat?
Yeah, I'll have something after this. Yeah, I'll have some fish maybe. Have you got some fish?
We have got some fish. We'll make you some fish before you go. We'll feed you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Would you like anything for dessert?
Let's see how filling the fish is, Craig.
I've got a funny feeling you're going to talk about the difference between some or any or something and anything. Uh-huh. And I've always wondered, because you can say, would you like something to drink? Would you like something to eat? Would you like anything to eat? Would you like anything to drink? Is there a difference? Does it matter?
Craig, you guessed it. It's some and any, something or anything. Yes, there are differences. And a lot of Spanish speakers have problems with some and any. Well, let me repeat a few of the things I said. I said that you brought me some salt with merken from Chile.
Mm-hmm.
You brought me some salt with merken from Chile. Some salt. That's a positive sentence. Some salt. But I said that you didn't bring me any souvenir.
Which is a negative sentence.
From Argentina, yep. You didn't bring me any souvenir. Or I could say you didn't bring me anything.
Mm-hmm.
We could say any plus the noun. Or we take away the noun and just say anything. Or we can say some plus a noun. Or we can say something without a noun. Okay? So you didn't bring me any souvenir. You didn't bring me anything from Argentina. Argentina. No. So any was for negatives. I also asked you a question at the very beginning. I said, have you got any souvenirs from your holiday in Laos?
So any would be also for questions.
For a question, right. So far, we've got some positive, any negative, and any question. So far, so good. Sounds easy. But I'm afraid, listeners, it gets a little bit more complicated. Do you remember I asked Craig if I could have some food after the podcast? Because I'm getting hungry talking about the merken and dulce de leche. I asked him, can I have some food? Well, that's a question, isn't it? Can I have some food? Yes, it does seem like a question. But in fact, it's a request. And when you request something, you usually use some, not any. Even though it's a question, because it's a request, we tend to use some. Can I have some food? I asked Craig if I could have some food, but Craig could have offered it. He could have said, Reza, would you like something to eat? That also seems like a question, but this time it's an offer.
Mm-hmm.
So both requests, when you ask for something, and offers, when you say you're going to give something, are usually with some. Even though they're questions, we don't use any, we use some. The word any is just for open questions, like, did you bring any souvenirs from Laos? It's not a request or an offer. Requests or offers are with some.
Can I just add something? I think that's exactly, when you said it's more open, see if you agree with this. I think if you ask the question, would you like anything, or would you like something, something tends to be more focused, more specific.
Right.
Would you like something to eat, like a sandwich, like a bowl of soup? Would you like anything is more open.
Exactly. Yes, a lot of grammar books mention that fact. There's a little bit of ambiguity, that's ambiguidad, difficult to pronounce, ambiguidad. You could have said to me, would you like some food or would you like any food? Both would be grammatically correct, but with a slight difference. Yeah, as you say, any is a more open word. Would you like any food? You're like saying, you name it, whatever you want. If I've got it, you can have it. Yeah,
exactly.
But imagine you were offering me specifically fish, for example. Then you would probably say, would you like some fish? Because you're narrowing, you're closing down my options, and therefore some is a better word. So there's a little bit of ambiguity. You can make offers with any, but generally speaking, If it's more open, use any in the question. But if it's a specific offer or request, or just generally you're trying to be more specific, then you tend to use some.
Some. And a similar example, for example, I know you like classical music, and you like, is it fair to say you like most classical music?
Yeah.
Not all, but most.
Yep.
I like some classical music, which tends to restrict the music I like to a small section. But I like any kind of jazz music.
Aha.
So when I'm using some, I'm focusing in more to a small part of classical music. But I like any. Any jazz music is fine with me.
Yes. That's another point you brought up there, Craig. Craig used any, but it wasn't a question and it wasn't a negative. He used any in a positive sense. He says he likes some classical music, but he likes, that's positive, he likes any jazz music. That meaning of any is to show that it doesn't matter what. He likes all jazz music.
Any.
It's completely open. So even though his sentence is positive, it's not negative, it's not a question, it's positive, you use any to show that there's no restriction, no limitation. I'm not selecting which one or what one. Any will do. For example, listeners, you know how a magician performs a trick with playing cards? They hold the cards in front of you, the 52 cards, and they say, pick any card. Pick any card. That's positive.
Cualquier carta. No?
Cualquier carta, yeah. Pick any card. They're saying that there's no limitation. Anyone you like.
Another example, I like any dessert with chocolate in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like some fruit desserts. So okay. Some fruit desserts are okay, but I don't like all desserts with fruit in. But give me anything with chocolate and I love it.
So any, doesn't matter what, no limitation, very open. And some, there's limitations. It's not 100%, not everything. That's basically the difference, Craig, yeah?
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to pronunciation, just a short piece of pronunciation this episode. Nice to meet you. When you first meet somebody, when you shake their hand and you say hello, it's common in English to say nice to meet you, but we don't say it like that. And I want to see if you agree with me here, Reza. I would say, as a Londoner, as somebody from London, nice to meet you.
And I would say, nice to meet you.
Similar.
More or less the same.
Yeah, more or less the same. The important thing to remember, the to in nice to meet you becomes weak. So we don't say to, we say to. Nice to. And the meet you becomes almost like a ch in the middle. It's like meet you. Yep. Meet you or meet you. Even ch. Nice to meet you.
Yep.
So would you say nice to meet you or nice to meet you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Meet you. Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Of course, you can also say pleased to meet you or pleased to meet you. So again, pleased to, the to becomes to, pleased to. Meet you has a kind of a ch ch in the middle. Mm-hmm. Meet you. Nice to meet you, pleased to meet you.
I can think of another very common expression in everyday English where that happens. You becomes a ch. When you ask someone, what are you doing? Two native speakers who know each other well, so they're not too concerned about their pronunciation, might say, what you doing?
What you doing, yeah. What are you doing? What you?
They don't bother about the word are. They don't even say it.
That's right.
And the what you doing, it becomes what you, what you. What you doing?
What you doing? Yeah.
It's very common, isn't it? Yeah. What you doing?
And when I was growing up and you see somebody in the street, you just might say, what you? I'm not sure what that means. What you? What you?
You know what we say in Belfast? We say that, but we also say, about you. It's a very particular regional thing.
About you?
About you. It means, how about you? As in, how are you? In Belfast, people say, boucher.
I haven't heard that before.
It's a Belfast thing.
Okay, boucher.
Yeah.
Boucher. Moving on to our phrasal verb section. Do you have a phrasal verb for us this week?
I do. It's get around or get round. Very often, the preposition can be around with A or round without A. Sometimes it's interchangeable.
But it means the same, yeah?
Usually. There are a few instances where we prefer one over the other, but usually you can interchange them.
Right.
Now, Craig, as we said before, you've been to many countries in the world, Argentina, Laos recently, China, Japan, Chile, Venezuela, Cuba, Australia, New Zealand, Portugal, Cambodia, Tanzania, Israel, France, the USA, Scotland, even Ireland.
I haven't been to Belfast.
No, but you've been to Dublin, haven't you?
I've been to Dublin, yeah.
Okay, and you've just come back from Laos just a few days ago. Man, you really get around.
I get around, don't I? Yeah.
You really get around.
I get around.
So there's the first use of get around.
To go to many places, to be in many places.
Be in many places. In Spanish, I guess you would say viajar mucho.
Mm-hmm.
Craig really gets around. Viaja mucho.
I don't do badly, do I?
Not
do
at all.
I do quite well.
Unfortunately, though, now she's getting a bit old, your mum finds it hard to get around.
She does.
These days.
She finds it very difficult to get around now. Yeah.
That's a slightly different meaning of get around. It could mean travel, but it means more she just finds any kind of movement difficult. In Spanish, you might say desplazarse.
She's not very mobile.
Not mobile. No. Even walking a short distance, never mind traveling, is hard. She finds it hard to get around.
She can get around with a walking stick, and baston. She can get around with a stick, and she can get around if she's holding your arm, but she can't really get around on her own by herself, unfortunately.
Now, listeners, have you been listening to the news recently? It has got around, ha corrido el rumor, it has got around that the French president's having an affair with another woman.
Really? I didn't know that.
François Hollande, excuse my pronunciation of French. François Hollande, the French president, is said, it's a rumor, he's said to be having an affair. It has got around. That means a rumor is circulating.
It's becoming common knowledge.
Yes, as a rumor. It has got around. There's another meaning of to get around. Now, can you imagine a Christmas dinner with the whole family, lots of people, and they all got around or got round the table?
Mm-hmm.
So that meaning of get round or get around, both are possible here, means to gather in a group.
Mm-hmm.
To get round a table.
To come together.
Yeah, some form a circle or something like that and gather in one spot together. All people come together. That's get around also.
If it's cold in the winter, you get around the fire.
Yes, get around it, make a circle around it, something like that. Another meaning, get around. Now, listeners, as you know very well, if you want to improve your English, you have to practice regularly. There's no getting around that.
Avoiding evitar.
Yeah, exactly. No getting around it means you cannot avoid it. No puedes evitarlo. No hay otra manera. There's no getting around it. It's something which cannot be bypassed. You have to go through it, like it or not.
There's no getting around the fact.
Now, another thing often in the news these days is the fact that sportsmen will sometimes take illegal drugs. We're talking about professional sportsmen. Will take illegal drugs to improve their performance. They try to get round the rules or get around the rules. Round or around, in this case, it doesn't matter.
It could also be evitar, couldn't it, in that sense?
Evitar, yeah, evitar or eludir el cumplimiento.
No cumplir.
No cumplir, yeah. That's get around the rules. How do they do that? Well, they get around the rules by substituting blood samples which are not theirs. So the drugs are not detected in the blood. That way they get around the anti-drug rule.
And many also get around paying tax.
Yep.
They'll avoid paying tax.
Yes. You can put your money through a foreign country which has different tax laws and all sorts of strange things. You get around the rules. Another meaning of get around is, in Spanish, you would say hacer llegar, for example. If I said to you, I'll get that parcel around to you today, or I'll get it round to you today, that means Telareyagar. I will deliver it to you. To get something round to another person is to deliver it, to make sure it's given to them. And the last meaning I have for today of phrasal verb, get around, if I were to say to you, and it's true, listeners, I've been hoping to redecorate my house for years, but I never get round to it, or I never get around to it. It means I've never found the right moment. No moment seems to be the right moment. No me llegó el momento. I didn't get round to doing it. I should do it. It's my intention to do it. I say I'm going to do it, but I still haven't done it. I just don't get round to it.
Well, I think because we're just starting a new year, it's 2014, it's January. I think this is the time, more than any other in the year, when we should get round to doing the things that we put off, which we've studied before, to put off, to postpone. So we should get round to doing these things. I should get round to tidying my cupboard. I should get round to throwing out my old books and things. And this time is a good time of the year to get round to doing these things.
So you could use two phrasal verbs in your advice. Stop putting things off, get round to doing them.
Get round to doing it.
Okay, that's get round. Done and dusted.
Moving on to Vocabulary Corner. This episode I thought we'd speak a little about money. Not many of us have money this time of the year, after Christmas, after buying presents. And personally speaking, after coming back from holiday, money is not something I'm very... I have a lot of at the moment. But speaking of money vocabulary, ganar in English has two verbs, you may know, to earn and to win. So what's the difference, Reza, between earning money and winning money? Can you think of any examples?
Oh, definitely, yes, because this often comes up in my classes.
Yeah, me too.
To win money, or to win anything, in fact, is through a competition. It may be sport, it may be a lottery, it may be a quiz, a TV quiz show, for example. Who knows? That's to win.
Bingo? You could win money at the bingo?
Cards, playing cards.
A casino?
Anything like that. Whereas, to gain is through effort. You've done something which gives you the right to that money
You earn. You say gain, which is probably you're thinking of ganar.
Oh, scrap that. Scrap that.
That's okay. So earn.
Earn is when you've made an effort, or you somehow deserve that money. You haven't just been lucky in a competition. You've worked, for example, and earned your wage. Or it could be that you've earned respect. Doesn't always have to be money.
You've earned respect.
You've done something to impress people. They say, hey, he's a good person. I respect him. He's earned my respect. He's done something to get it. That's the difference.
I think after this podcast, we'll have earned a cup of tea.
I hope I've earned that.
And maybe a chocolate biscuit.
Have I earned that fish you promised me?
Not yet.
Oh. So we got the dessert sorted out, but I haven't earned the main course yet. Okay.
You haven't earned your crust. You haven't earned your fish yet. So that earn and win, both ganar in Spanish, to earn money, to earn a salary when you're working, and to win in a competition or to win in the lottery or at a casino. Another couple of words that are sometimes confused, borrow and lend. So I'm interested to know how you would tell your students about the difference between borrow and lend. I say borrow to lend, borrow from, lend to. So you borrow from a bank, the bank lends money to you.
Yeah.
And I always get the Spanish verbs confused. Prestar is to lend. What's borrow?
As far as I know,
dar prestado.
Tener prestado.
Tener prestado
is borrow.
Tener prestado.
Tener prestado is borrow.
Because with those two explanations, a Spanish speaker will know the difference.
Yes.
So tener prestado is
borrow,
and prestar is lend.
Yeah. Another thing I tell my students, just to try and simplify it, although it's not very precise, more or less. Borrow is take. Lend is give.
Right. And the noun of lend is loan. So if you go to a bank, you want to borrow money. The money the bank lends you is a loan. You get a loan from the bank or a bank loan.
By the way, if you live in Spain, good luck getting a bank loan these days. Virtually impossible.
Yeah. Pay, pagar. What's the preposition with pay? Do our listeners know? To pay for something. I'll pay for the drinks. I'll pay for lunch. I'll pay for the meal. And interestingly, when you'd say in Spanish, te invito, how would you say that in Belfast? If you go out for lunch with somebody and you want to pay for the drinks or you want to pay for the coffee, how would you say?
You could just say, I'll pay.
You could say, I'll pay.
Or you could say, it's on me.
Right, it's on me. I was hoping you'd think of that. What about, it's my treat? Would you say that?
Yeah, sometimes. Yes, it's my treat.
I'll get it.
Yep.
It's on me. All of these expressions you could use for te invito.
Another one, sorry, Craig, I just thought of. It's my shout.
More colloquial. I don't know if an American would say that.
No, an American wouldn't say that. That's British colloquialism, isn't it? It's my shout. That's very common for buying beer, isn't it?
It's mi grito.
Yeah, well, that's what it, but you, we shouldn't really translate it like that. It's very common when you're buying a round of beer, which is an important British and Irish tradition.
Get around.
Yeah. Get around, very good.
Get a round of drinks.
It's my shout. I'm buying the five drinks for the five people.
Yeah. It's not my shout, it's your shout. Reza, what's your top tip this episode?
I've forgotten, Craig.
Presentations.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
See, I wrote it down. Presentations. Yes. You were going to speak about how a person who needs to give presentations in English can practice at home before they do it by themselves.
Oh, yes. Edit that bit out, Craig, and I will pretend I had that thought. Yes, Craig, indeed I do have a top tip for today.
What's your top tip? Please tell us, Reza.
It's help for giving presentations. Right. Now, how do you prepare for presentations? Well, you make sure you got good notes. If you're using a PowerPoint, check your English on it, the spelling, all the rest of it. Make sure it looks good. But who's going to listen to you? Well, if you have someone, a person to listen to you who speaks good English, great. If not, you can just speak to yourself in the mirror.
That's right.
Speak to your pet dog. See what he thinks.
Or your cat.
Your cat, whatever. But check your body language, your facial gestures, as well as your actual English. Make sure they coincide. That's my tip.
There's a very good expression in English, practice makes perfect. I think the more you practice in front of a mirror, the more you practice in front of your family, in front of your mum or your brothers and sisters, the better your presentation will be on the day. And also, I think use cards. When I give a presentation, I use cue cards. I write some notes on cards and just flip through them or pass through them as I'm speaking. Don't read it. Don't read your presentation from
the paper.
Or
from, if you're using a PowerPoint, don't read everything that's written on the screen. That's boring. People don't want that. Mm. Yeah.
Face your audience.
Eye contact.
Language. Eye contact.
Yeah. Which is good because it's good practicing with a mirror because you get to see what your facial expressions are, so you know what your audience is seeing. If you don't like what you see, well, change it. Make yourself look a bit nicer, a bit friendlier, a bit more down to earth.
Keep smiling. Smile a lot. And use visuals. Make sure you use something on a screen, a PowerPoint presentation, or even photographs or maps. Because if your audience are looking at something visual, they're not looking at you so much, which takes a little of the pressure and the stress away from you. You won't be so nervous if you have some nice, effective visual displays.
Can I just go back to what you said about the cue cards? Yes, that can be a good idea for some people. Though not all people, I would say, but some people, yeah. But one thing, those cue cards should be small. As Craig said, cards. Don't use pieces of paper for a couple of reasons. Doesn't look nice. They're too big. They make a noise. Looks dirty. Don't use pieces of paper. And I think use also, cue cards, small cards.
I think also people tend to hide behind these big pieces of paper, so they'll just gradually disappear behind the paper because they're a bit nervous, and that's not good.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners would like to check a presentation translation from Spanish to English, or maybe they have a CV that needs translated or checked, where could they go for that, Reza?
Well, there are many places they could go, but they could ask me. They could send me an email and I might be able to help them out.
Right.
My email address is belfastreza@gmail.com. Or if you prefer the Spanish pronunciation, belfastreza. I'll spell it. BELFASTREZA. @gmail.com.
Great. So if you need a translation done and you'd like a quotation from Reza, just send him an email and he'll be more than happy to get in touch with you. One final thing before we leave you, you can also go to iTunes and be kind enough to give us some stars if you like this podcast, and maybe a small review or crítica in iTunes. That would help more listeners to find this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Reza, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See ya.
See you next time.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org. Si quieres mandarnos un comentario sobre este podcast o una pregunta sobre la gramática, la pronunciación o el vocabulario de inglés, mándanos un email a mentionteachers@yahoo.es.